Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors. So you want to start a podcast, huh? Well, we got something to help you. The Black Real Estate Dialogue brings you the How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience ebook and webinar bundle.
We are controlling transmission.
Come and put info into action as we show you the step-by-step process to sharing your successful podcast on a budget. This bundle is full of the exact details, social media hacks, and podcasting process we've used to gain 13,000 downloads and over 10,000 Instagram followers. But that's not all. As a bonus, you'll receive the exact super trackers we use to stay organized and free access to our private Facebook group designed to help you execute. Make sure you click that link now because there is an audience for you to reach. The How to Start a Successful Podcast on a Budget with No Experience, the ebook and webinar bundle presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue. Do you really think investing in real estate is too expensive? Well, you wrong about that. Presenting a beginner's guide to buying your first out-of-state property, a Black Real Estate Dialogue course. That's right, it's the new course presented by the Black Real Estate Dialogue, teaching you how to develop the investor's mindset, the advantages of investing out of state, getting your finances in order, finding the right location, assembling your team, creating financing strategies, how to find and analyze properties, how to find tenants, real-life case studies, and so much more in bonus content.
Oh yeah, did we mention you have lifetime access?
My goodness! If you have dreams of buying a property out of state but have no idea where to start, well, this is the guide for you. Learn the tips from someone with firsthand experience.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 66. A couple quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe on whichever platforms you are listening to this on. This will definitely help us reach more people and also move up in the rankings. If you'd like to get the latest updates on what's happening at the Black Real Estate Dialogue, text BRED to 21,000 to join the free VIP text list. If you want to gain early access to episodes, bonus content, discounts on merch, and more, join our Patreon program. Visit patreon.com/Black Real Estate Dialogue to join or visit the link in the show notes. This episode is sponsored by the Bread Real Estate Investing Community. If you're looking for a group of like-minded individuals and exclusive access to experienced real estate investors, look no further. Each month, we have two masterclasses that are taught by experienced investors. There's unlimited access to our library of past guest speaker recordings. You have access to our private Slack channel to engage in daily discussion with everyone in the community, to share resources, and also to support one another. So definitely, if you're interested, click the link below or go to blackrealestatedialogue.com for more information. Last week, we had a powerful speaker, Storm Leroy. He really dove deeply into his business model, different tips people should look out for, how long people should hold properties for, how you should build your team. So many great gems. The replay is available. And this coming week, we have Lamon Woods, who's going to talk to us about negotiating with sellers and finding deals. So definitely, the community is a great opportunity to get one-on-one time with people who are experienced. It's a lot different from the podcast. The podcast is kind of me going back and forth, but the community is all student-led. So you really are able to get the information that you need. So if you're interested, click the link below or go to blackrealestatedialogue.com. This episode is going to be jam-packed with information. I cannot wait to hear what you all think of it. Without further ado, let's get into it. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. I am very excited about this episode and all the game we're about to receive. Here with me, I have Casey Robinson out of Atlanta, Georgia. Shout out to Atlanta. Casey, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
No, definitely. Thank you for bringing me on the show.
Yeah. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. I know we started just chatting on IG and the DM, so I'm very glad and excited that you decided to join us. So Casey, to start off, I would just love to learn more about what your childhood was like and what you saw or maybe what you didn't see that ultimately shaped your view of building wealth.
So definitely my childhood, there was no millionaires or anything like that in my family. So I didn't come from a wealth background. I had the average. I'm from California, from Los Angeles, California. Actually Inglewood. So
that's where I live. I didn't know you're from
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
That's crazy. I'm from Brooklyn, but I've been in LA for almost 5 years. Been living in Inglewood like 4 years. That's so crazy.
Wow. Inglewood, West Coast. So yeah. So I actually moved from Inglewood and moved to Atlanta when I was in high school, my second year of high school. But growing up, I saw, you know, my father literally was incarcerated, and I just had my mother. She was a single mother, working 2-3 jobs, you know, the same thing that we always see. You know, she didn't really know too much about investing. She didn't know about basically making her money work for her. None of my other family, you know, my aunts, my uncles, nobody actually tapped into real estate. You know, everybody basically lived in apartments. Nobody actually purchased their own home. None of that. So it was like, you know, the average living. But when I did move to Atlanta, my mother ended up meeting my stepdad, and he was always an entrepreneur. So he had a trucking business. He's in transportation, which makes pretty decent money. So she got into that, and they ended up, you know, growing the business together. And that's when I really saw more entrepreneurship. And like I said, I was in high school at that time. So,
awesome.
So it's crazy. Yeah. Awesome.
And so it's interesting. Like, it's like you had two parts of your childhood. You had your early part. And then when you went to Atlanta, it's like your stepdad, you got exposed to like a whole nother style, a whole nother side, rather, a whole nother life and just entrepreneurship. So I guess still being in your formative years as a kid, what was that like? Just witnessing that, just seeing how successful he was, and then seeing your mother, you know, work with him to grow the business. Like, what was that like? What did that do to you in your mind as a kid?
I mean, in my mind, I've never seen it. I saw everybody in my family literally like working a 9-to-5. So I was like, wow, you know, I mean, literally you can have a business, grow a business and be successful at it. I was just amazed. I was like, oh, I definitely want to do this when I get older.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, a lot of times you're forced to go into college, you know, your family's pushing you and pressuring you. So I did go that route, got my bachelor's degree, but I always knew, seeing that and growing up in that environment, that I wanted to do something with entrepreneurship. You know, it was just definitely different. I seen them work hard. I mean, hard, like literally, like no games, you know, basically working from morning to night. So it is, I saw the hard work. I saw the dedication. I saw all of that. And it was just something different. And I was glad I was actually exposed to that still at a young age, you know, so.
Definitely. Got it. That's amazing. That's amazing. I think it's really powerful that you saw something like that as a kid. So mobile homes, almost everybody, unless you grew up in a mobile home community or exposed to that through, I don't know, people you know, or maybe who you know live in those communities, they always have a negative connotation. People always look at them negatively. That's just how we're socialized. And as of late within our community, people are now realizing that it's an investment opportunity. It's an investment play. And so how in the world did you get into mobile homes? Like how, it's not common. So how did you even get exposure to it? Talk to us about that.
I know. You know what? It's not common, but what's so crazy about it, it is like one of the biggest billionaires out there, Warren Buffett, he owns like 2-3 mobile home parks. So it's like, how is this not common? You see what I'm saying? So a couple of years ago, I was at a pool party barbecue. And basically I met a realtor slash investor. And he was just going into the spill. He was like, listen, you want to purchase these assets? You want to do this and that? At the time he was purchasing apartment units. I've never heard of that. Apartment units. And he was telling me you can get them for the low, $15,000, $20,000, you know, get a tenant in there. It was crazy. So I was like, ooh, I wanted to dive more into it. So I went home that night and I was just like diving into like the web, books, everything. I was just reading up on this for like literally 6 months straight. And I thought primarily I was going to just go ahead and go into traditional real estate because that's really what piqued my interest. Mm-hmm. And I so happened to come across a webinar and it wasn't Mobile Home Elite Investors. It was just like some other random like webinar that I came across. And it was a couple of people. It was a lot of people in there. It's probably about 150. 50 people in there. And they were talking about mobile homes. I said, mobile homes? I was thinking the same thing you said. I was like, what the? No, couldn't be. So, you know, as I continue to keep on listening, it was like ladies were in the chat and they were like, hey, we're new to this space. Does anybody want to partner up? They were just dropping their cities. So like, it was like 6 to 7 women. They dropped Atlanta. So I was like, yeah, I'm from Atlanta too. You know, let's email each other. Let's partner up. And from there, basically we formed this group. We all kind of like got together in Macon, Georgia, which is probably about an hour and 20 minutes, hour 15, 20 minutes from Atlanta. Got together in Macon, Georgia at this park. And literally we stayed out in that park for 2 hours looking at all of the mobile homes. We were all unfamiliar. The property manager basically gave us a tour. The gentleman who owned the park, he came out to speak to us and he was just basically just giving us the whole entire sauce on the mobile home communities, how people really invest in this, how it's such a big deal, how people make money. And from there, I was sold. I was like, I got to do this.
Wow.
It was just like an easier way to get into real estate with less money than going the traditional route.
Definitely. Did you say like you and the other women, you came together to like and just wanted to like invest together or came together and just was doing research together?
At first, we came together to do research and to invest together as a whole. But we ended up, you know, purchasing our own separate mobile homes. And then some of the women in the group, they actually haven't even purchased a mobile home as of yet. You know, they're still stuck in that, you know, researching and haven't done anything. But everybody still kind of keeps in contact, but we've never actually ever did a deal together.
Got it. So it seems like you were sold pretty early on. And so how do you go from skeptic to sold? Like what happened in between then that was like, all right, I know you mentioned the money part, but was there anything else that was like, all right, this is going to be a good next step for me. This is like what I'm about to do.
You know what? What got me to sold, once I said that, it was probably a week later, I had been researching mobile homes. He was telling us exactly what to do. And I got a tip off from one of the ladies that was in the group. And she said, listen, she said, I'm already interested in 2 mobile homes. You know, I'm about to renovate these. I can't do this third one. It's a property manager's mobile home. Can you just go out to Columbus, Georgia and just look at it, you know, and see what happens? So I went out there just on a whim. You know, I didn't think I was going to buy it on the spot, but basically I went out there, saw the property. The property was a nice property. It wasn't run down and it would just gave me like, you know, once again, I'm like, I'm thinking like old, I'm thinking, you know, like people like just run down, you know, when I'm thinking about mobile home parks. And so when I got out there and talked to her and her husband, and then they told me that, you know, once you purchase the mobile home, it's as easy as me and you going to the tag office and basically signing over the title. And I was like, no closing costs? And she was like, no attorneys involved, no closing, you know, I mean, just simple, easy. Wow. She was like, you either can flip it or you can easily get a tenant in here. We talked numbers. I got the price that I really wanted and that was it. So, you know, just the no closing, the no attorneys, the no fees.
That's simple. It seems like yes. It's a pretty seamless transaction.
Very seamless. And that's what sold me. That literally is what sold me.
Got it. It's so crazy because when you think about, you know, let's just say a regular house, you got all these parties, right? You know, depending where you might have like a lawyer. You have different closing costs, loan origination, if there's a mortgage, all these different costs. But it seems like mobile homes is like pretty much straightforward,
straight to the point. You know, it's pretty much, I mean, it's you have the negotiation and stuff with the seller and the buyer, of course. But other than that, you don't really have too many other hands involved, you know, other than property managers and that sort, you know, if you're buying in a park. But that's it pretty much.
Got it. So when you bought that first mobile home, was it within a park or was it one that was kind of like, I don't know the right word, was it like outside of a park, like a single, like a one-off kind of situation?
One-off. No, actually the first mobile home I ever purchased was at a park. So it's a little bit different when you go into purchasing mobile homes that are on land. Mm-hmm. Your situation is kind of moving into the traditional real estate sector.
Got it. So what was it like just like going in a park and trying to figure out what you want to buy? Like, are there did you kind of do your own marketing? Were they like, oh, this is for sale online? Like, how was that process like for you?
Well, the process, well, like I said, I got the lead, you know, which was great, you know, but 9 times out of 10, a lot of people are not just going to get leads, you know? And it's like, kind of like, if you're not going to get a lead, you got to take the route of like what you're saying, either marketing your services, saying that obviously you're looking to purchase mobile homes, or, you know, you're just scrolling on all types of social media, all types of different platforms to search for people who's selling mobile homes. Also, just like traditional real estate, they call it driving for dollars. Same thing with the mobile homes, you know, obviously roll around in a few mobile home parks looking for sale by owner signs. It's all kind of like the same style, you know, what you have to do, but you do have to put in obviously some work to get the house. And then what you want to do is, of course, start networking with people, you know, start networking with a lot of property managers, and just basically building up, you know, your name so they'll know to contact you when they have something. So
got it. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. So what was the play? What was the play after you purchased that property? Was it like a flip? Was it something that you ended up holding? Like what was the strategy when you bought it? And did that change like at any point after? Did you kind of go through whatever you had planned?
So the strategy, I was initially wanting to flip it because, you know, you're only working with a limited amount of money. You know, once you buy into that, it's kind of like you flip it, you have more, more money to work with to go ahead and put into something else. So that was my original plan, but it didn't turn out like that because the thing is, this was a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. There are so many people looking for 3-bedroom, 2-baths. Okay. I mean, they will knock your door down literally to get it to a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. So I was like, you know what? This is like, everybody wants this. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hold on to this and then just literally put them on terms, you know, do the seller financing option, because when you're just doing straight out rental, you are responsible for the maintenance. And with the seller financing option, which is, you know, you're not responsible for any maintenance. You know, you have them on terms and it's basically like, you know, they know that the house is theirs. At a certain point, the title is going to get handed over to them. So that's what I ended up doing. And literally, I mean, that house sold in probably like a few days after I listed it. I mean, people were calling me from all over, like, you know. And I got a good family in there now and I have had no issues with them. So, and that was my first one. Yep.
Wow. So is it like a 3 or 5 year term or something?
I put her on a 60-month term, a 5-year term. You can go all the way up. I've seen some people go all the way up and do 8 to 10 years on their mobile home.
Wow.
I just chose to go with the standard 5 years. So
got it. That's amazing. So yeah. In that case, so obviously the tenant, you know, they do all the repairs and stuff like that. Do you have, is your only expense, like maybe is it lot rent or tax or something? How does it work with that situation?
There's 3 expenses, obviously, because, you know, I'm not doing any maintenance, and that's the lot rent, of course, because I am basically having the mobile home that I own sitting on their land. And then I also have, you want to get insurance on it. So, I do have insurance on it just in case anything happens. The tenant is responsible for getting her own renter's insurance, but I'm also ultimately responsible for the structure of the home. So I have the insurance on it. And then, like I said, we do have yearly taxes on it, but the taxes are so low. I'm saying that home, that first home that I got, I think the taxes are about $140, and that's for the year. So
Wait, I had to like catch my breath or something. Did you say $140?
$140.
Oh my gosh. What was the purchase price of that one?
Like, I'm trying to get one. I'm
like, you got me curious now. I'm like, I think I'm in the wrong business.
The purchase price, she actually wanted $10,000 for that one. I talked her down to $75,000 because she had a really nice mobile home.
Yeah.
It was a 2000 model, but this lady, I mean, had prime. I mean, the real estate, like the corner lot that she had, even though I'm renting the lot, I mean, it was huge. It was like the biggest lot that was out there in the whole park. She had the landscaping going. She had an additional deck. I mean, where her husband built like woodworking center for like guys. It was just great. Wow. So talked her down to $7,500 and I only put like $1,500 worth of repairs in it. Wow. So I pretty much came out with like $9,000 all in.
And now you got someone taking care of the dirty work and you just paying the bills and collecting the rent.
and collecting the rent. Exactly. That's, and I'm going to make crazy. triple by money in 5 years.
Wow. Now, I'm telling you, this is like one of the reasons I really was excited about this episode, because this is a space where our community, we're not aware of. Like, I just got a whole lesson just now, you know? and so I think that's just the power of mobile homes, clearly.
Yes.
So that's great. That's great. And this was in Macon, Georgia, you said?
This one is in Columbus, Georgia.
Columbus. Okay.
Columbus. Yes.
Got it.
And location is everything too when you're purchasing a mobile home. It's the same thing like when you're doing traditional real estate, you know. So definitely.
That's incredible. So where did you go from there? So you got that one, you got you got your tenant in, you got your seller finance term. So were you kind of I'm gonna pause for a little bit, I'm gonna figure out what's next, or were you like,
yep,
you know what?
No,
I wanna do more.
No, I definitely want to do more. I'm not stopping. So yeah, from there, it's crazy. That's what I'm trying to say to so many people when they come and they ask me. I say, listen, networking with people and just making the connections, it's everything in this business, period. Whether you're doing mobile homes, traditional real estate, whatever you're doing in this business, it's all about networking and making those connections. Because while I was working on that mobile home, this particular park actually just turned over a new management team. So, you know, the gentleman that was the property manager now and his brother was the maintenance guy. They were just coming by looking at the repairs and was like, oh, wow, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. This is the only one you have. Blase, blase, blase. And then I'll say about 2 weeks later, right before I was basically done finishing the repairs on that home, the maintenance guy said, hey, I actually want to move to a newer mobile home that they're bringing in the next couple of weeks. And my mobile home's for sale. Do you want to buy mine? And like, I was like, wow, you see what I'm saying? So literally he was like, do you want to buy mine? I think he wanted around $4,000. I talked him down to $2,750 for that mobile home. And there was some work that needed to be done on it in the inside. It was having some water leaks and some water issues. But other than that, I flipped that home. And like, literally, I think I flipped that home. I got that home for $2,750. I think I flipped that home, I want to say $13,000. It was like a quick flip. So.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Very easy, you know, so. Yeah. And that was my second one. And I was in that same park, literally at the same time, doing the repairs to the first one, got an offer on the second one from the maintenance guy, flipped that one really quick, and literally moved on to the third one in the same city. So.
Right. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And I think to your point of networking and just doing good and doing what you're supposed to be doing as an owner, obviously they noticed that you were taking care of the place. You had enough rapport with them. He literally put the deal in your hands and you were able to clearly, obviously, like, negotiate it down a bit. But I don't want people to miss that. You know, like, a lot of times you might think your interactions are like regular or your interactions don't mean anything, but they mean a lot. Like, you never know who's watching. You never know who's like checking for you. You never know, based on your interactions with somebody, when they come upon an opportunity, whether it's from somebody else or from themselves, like it happened to you, you might be the first one they reached out to for the opportunity because you established a rapport and because you show yourself to be someone who is a responsible owner.
Exactly. And who gets it done. And that's the main thing too. You know, I see people buy mobile homes all the time and they just sit on them and they're not repairing them. They're not doing anything to it. And it's like, no, you know, if you're looking to really get in the business and, you know, get return and, you know, people offering you more mobile homes and building something with the property managers, you have to get on it. They want to see like a good job being done. They want to see that, you know, you're because basically you're putting value into their community. You know what I'm saying? So for having a mobile home sit there or in need of repairs and you purchased it and it's just sitting and all you're doing is paying the lot rent, it's not really helping them. You know, especially in this first park that I was in, they were remodeling the whole entire community. They put barbecue pits there. They did like a little swing center for the kids. It was like a whole family thing. So they want to see that you're actually placing value into that community. And when you do it quick, fast, in a hurry, they're willing to give you other, you know, opportunities. So
definitely. That's a quick tip right there.
Yeah.
So you flipped that second property and then what did you do after that? Did you like kind of like, you know, park that money somewhere or you're like, nah, I'm going out. I'm making another move.
I kept going. Like literally I did. And like literally what's so crazy is I did all of this in 90 days. Like my first four homes were in 90 days.
Wait a second. Hold on. All this happened in 90 days?
Yes.
I didn't realize that. I didn't actually.
Yes.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yes. I purchased my first home actually in August 31st. Yes. Of last year. Wow. And all of those first four homes happened in 90 days. And we're only literally in March right now of 2021.
Wow.
So that was my second one. My third one, I did, I actually took a friend out with me because she wanted to get into the space. She's more into like the retail space. And she just wanted to kind of try it out, you know, her and her husband. I guess that wasn't the route for her to go, you know, that she figured out, but I took her with me just to do some driving around. And literally it was about a park, probably about 10 minutes up from the first property, from the first park that I, had the first one in. And, we did some driving around. We were just touring the neighborhood. It was like three parks side by side. And that last one that we went into, I come around the bend and I see a for sale by owner sign. Literally I called. It was a friend of the seller's, and he said, I can get the seller on the phone now. He's an older gentleman. He got him on the phone, and the gentleman was like, I can be over there literally in like 30 minutes. I stood there. I met with him, and I literally did the deal with him in like 45 minutes, like literally. And he took the for sale sign out of his window. I put $1,000 earnest deposit down. And ultimately she wanted me and her to kind of partner up and, you know, and kind of like I do more of the work and she's more of like a silent partner. But with her retail business and all that that was going on, she decided just not even get into it at all. So I knew what I was doing already from the first two mobile homes. So I just took the reins. This gentleman was moving to Milwaukee with his daughter. He was 85 years old. If I could show you guys these pictures, this gentleman had been living in that mobile home for 40 years. His wife passed away. It had a rotary phone in that home. It was an older mobile home, but I have never seen a mobile home in that pristine condition as that home. I literally didn't have to do anything to that home. The only thing I did, it had the older carpet in like the bathroom, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
So ugly. So I put flooring down in there, put some new flooring down in the living room. That was basically it. You know, I cool sealed the top of the roof. Me and my handyman, we got up there and cool sealed. That's how I do work with them as well. We cool sealed the top of the roof. And that was it. Literally, that was it. I mean, same thing. That home sold fast. I have, and that was another buy and hold that I did. So I have somebody actually making payments on that. So that would be my third mobile home. And then I went to my fourth one, which was a little bit different. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Definitely. You're going to dive into some stuff, but tell us about the fourth one.
The fourth one was a little bit different because it was a joint venture that I did with another guy that I had known. He had about 30 mobile homes in parks. So he had been doing this for about 8 years when nobody kind of knew about the industry like that. And I was researching auctions, you know, looking at auctions and seeing if there's mobile homes out there that you can get on auction. You know, people go to auction.com. There's a whole bunch of other sites. I think this was like Thurwood and Marshall, or I can't remember the name of it, but I had been searching around and I actually found about 20 mobile homes in the kind of like Atlanta area and about 2 hours out from Atlanta that were up from auction. But these were like literally sitting on land, like an acre, 2 acres of land. So he was like, what the hell? We might as well, you know, see, this would be my first time doing a flip. I've never done a mobile home on land before. I have it, you know? So he was like, I can put majority of the money in, you know, you guys get together, put some money in and let's just go and start bidding. And that's what we did. Literally, we bid it. We got this home. It was a sitting on 1 acre of land. I believe it was 44,000. And basically we just went with it and we renovated it. And right now we're looking for a buyer. We kind of stopped because, you know, due to the winter months and all that, just waited till it got a little bit hotter outside. And we're looking for a buyer, but it's about an hour and a half from Atlanta. So this was a different process, like I said, because this is real estate now. This is like traditional real estate. With the auctions, it's a little bit easier, but you do go through a closing process. You know, you have to pay, you know, for, you know, certain paperwork and, you know, everything to be done. But this is like a whole deed situation and everything. But, you know, there's mobile homes on land all day and night. So
yeah, definitely. Wow. That is crazy. So I'm kind of just blown away right now because you said you did all that in 90 days.
I did all that in 3 months. Mm-hmm. Those first four, 3 months.
What was going through your mind during that time? Like, were you just your foot on the gas? Did you ever stop to consider, yo, this is crazy. Like, I'm doing all of this. Like, I'm just rolling.
I was like, this is crazy. I was like, the first thought in my head was like, dang, if I would have had this mentality in my 20s, I would have been a millionaire by now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm like, I was thinking like you too, because I was like, am I moving too fast? Especially this is a pandemic, you know, 2020, that's when the start of coronavirus, you know? So I was like, wow, am I moving too fast? But something kept on just telling me, just keep going, you know, you're doing well, just keep going. You know, I have already been wanting to get into the real estate field since I went to that barbecue. So it's been a while. And I just said, listen, if it's an easier way to get into this industry, then I need to go ahead and just put my foot on the gas and just keep it going. And, you know, I had some doubts in my mind, you know, but I just kept going. And it's been working out great. So now I'm moving on to other states, kind of like you, like long distance.
Dang, that's
investing.
So. Yeah, that's I'm so inspired. I mean, that's crazy. I think, you know, we definitely have to have you hopefully in the future come talk to the Bread Real Estate Investing community, because I think definitely. For a lot of people, real estate seems like this big unreachable thing. And obviously we all try to make it seem feasible, but I think it hits a little different when you talk about mobile homes, because just talking over numbers with you very quickly, that's within reach of so many people, you know, like
yeah.
People can come up with those funds to get a mobile home or even partner up with somebody and just start there, you know,
like exactly.
Yeah. I personally, to me, it seems a lot less intimidating, a lot less like this big grandiose thing. And you can still make money clearly.
Yes, yes. Yes, yes. And it's an easier way to just get into the business. And it's not saying that you have to stick in, you know, this niche, you know, of mobile homes. I mean, it's like you do so many of them, you know, you build up the capital and then you can always move on to trying out, you know, I don't know, single family, multi, whatever you're really trying to get into. But, you know, I feel like you have to start somewhere. You know, a lot of times you have to kind of buckle down and just focus on one area, because when you're too spread out, you know, you're not focused and it's kind of like a distraction. So
definitely. No, that's a great point.
Yeah.
And so did you ever experience any challenges going to parks, like park managers treating you a certain way, or have your interactions been pretty much pretty cool?
It's crazy because my interactions have been pretty cool. And a lot of things that I hear about people meeting with certain park managers, you know, they're feeling like, oh, it's, they're being discriminated against and all this other type of stuff. I have not really seen it. And it's crazy because a lot of the park managers that I run into are male, and you know, I'm a female and sometimes that can intimidate us, but I have never really ran into any type of anything like that. Everything has been pretty seamless, you know, and everybody's been pretty cool. So
definitely. And the reason I asked you that is because I know like people might be intimidated. They might be nervous. They're thinking, oh, wow, you know, I heard this episode. I want to get into mobile homes now.
Yeah.
But like, what if the park manager is racist? Like, what if things can happen. But I think it's good to hear from someone who's dealt with different park managers and different people within the space, yeah. Who's had a pretty solid experience. So I appreciate you mentioning that.
Yeah, definitely. And then what's so crazy is like all of the park managers have not been a minority. They have not been of color. Like all of them had all been Caucasian and I haven't had any issues. So I do want people to understand that, you know, there are park managers that will work with you. It's not about that. You know, it's a business like any other business. And then other than that, like if you are having any type of issues with any park managers, just move on to the next. But the worst thing that you can do is, you know, basically kind of like go toe to toe with them, you know, yeah. And start this war, because I still feel like the mobile home industry, the community, people know people, you know, from different states. A lot of park managers have been there for years. So it's kind of like, just brush it off and just move on, you know, never let that interact with your business. So
definitely. And what's it like rehabbing a mobile home? Is it like a regular home? Are there any, I guess, differences in structure, or like, I'm not sure how to really ask the question properly because it's foreign, but like, I guess, are there similarities? Are there differences like when you rehab mobile homes?
I think think there are some similarities, but what people are going to love is it's definitely less expensive. The materials are less expensive. You know, you're not really seeking out a contractor. That's a whole nother discussion, because when you're in the mobile home space, don't seek out contractors. You're seeking out handyman, because contractors are going to charge you as a contractor price about, you know, doing a traditional real estate. And that's not what we're doing here, because, you know, even though they use sheetrock and they use, you know, similar materials in mobile homes, the materials are, it's just less expensive. And you don't necessarily have to buy all of your materials from Home Depot and Lowe's, because they actually have mobile home stores that people really don't know about that you can purchase the supplies from there. And the mobile homes, regardless if it's a single wide or it's a double wide, it's kind of like you're using the same. It's kind of like the same structure. So you're using the same materials. It's kind of like, you know, and it's all kind of priced the same. Like when you're looking underneath the mobile home, the main component there is skirting. They call it underpinning that you see to go around the bottom. And pretty much that pricing is just the same all the way around. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of like, it's just definitely lower in materials. In the workmanship, like all of my handymans would tell you, it's so much easier to fix a mobile home. I mean, literally a mobile home can be gutted from the bottom up, and it would cost maybe a couple thousand dollars to remodel the whole thing. It's not as pricey as, you know, as a regular traditional real estate. So that's another good thing as well.
Wow. That's pretty dope. Yeah. I didn't know they had like mobile home stores, like where you just get,
yep.
That's crazy. I never heard of that.
Yep. A lot of people don't know that they do have mobile home stores. Mm-hmm.
Got it. Are there a lot of, are there a lot of like mobile home parks within the areas, I guess, I don't know, near Atlanta or like a couple hours away? Are there a lot of
Yes, definitely. I think Atlanta, I can't even remember. I want to say Atlanta, maybe if I'm trying to go back, I think I want to say 690 or 700 mobile home parks within Georgia, just period.
Wow.
I think North Carolina has a lot of them. I mean, North Carolina, I think, is sitting at almost probably 4,000 mobile home parks. Texas is another one that has a large amount. California has a pretty decent amount, but, you know, a little bit pricier out there. But if you look at this map of how many mobile home parks are in each state, you would be like shocked. Like you would be shocked, you know?
Wow.
You're thinking like a few mobile home parks in each state. Oh no, absolutely not. It's several.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy. Wow. Yeah. What are some challenges that you've experienced, I guess, since you started? In the mobile home space, like, you know, what are some things that you've experienced?
I would say when I first got into it, my first home, you know, it was a great home, but when the lady left, I'm not gonna lie, it was an infestation of bugs. infestation, like literally. Exactly. So, you know, if you're not up for that, you know, I don't know if this is the space for you, because you never know what you can see, what you're going to see, literally. So that was a huge challenge, because I was new. This is like my first home. I'm like, seriously, what am I supposed to do? You know? So, that I would also say, I'm trying to think, cause oh gosh, it has really been a great ride. Like even my last mobile home that I just done in South Carolina, I mean, it has been phenomenal. So I'm just like trying to think of really where I had the road bumps at, other than, you know, the bugs and finding really good people, you know, that can always be an issue. You know, your handyman, you know, you want to find good people that are going to do good work. So that can always be an issue. But other than that, I haven't really had too many crazy issues, you know, with any of this. And it's, I don't know. I guess it's just like, I've been blessed. I don't know.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So you also invest in South Carolina, is that right?
Yes, I actually just picked up. So my thing now is that it's crazy, because I started with kind of like the ladies and us networking and, you know, trying to see if we can work deals with each other. And I'm kind of back in that same space right now. I get a lot of people inquiring about, you know, partnering up, doing joint ventures. You know, some people, it's either they don't really have all of the capital. Cause I would say, when they ask me, what's a good number to start with investing in mobile homes? I said at least 5,000. So some people don't have the full on 5,000, or some people might not just have the knowledge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get a lot of people that want to partner up. So I said, you know what? Let me try to see if I can actually partner a deal and see how this works, because, you know, more people do need to work together. It's about coming together and, you know, collaborating. So a young lady who I met in the mobile home space. Oh, she's a beast at it, too. I mean, she's flipped probably about 14 mobile homes wow. within probably like a year. So she's a beast at it, too. One of the young ladies who I actually is on there that does mentoring with me as well. So we decided to go ahead and partner up. I had found, you know, a connection with some deals, with some mobile home deals out there in South Carolina. And there's probably about 3.5 hours from me. So I said, listen, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to see what he has to offer. Went out there. Literally, he walked me around the park. We chopped it up. You know, I mean, we made a great bond. You know, he was telling me that he was about to own another park, like literally down the street, and he would have more in the next couple of months. So he wanted to see what I would do on this first one. So I said, well, let me just partner up with her on this deal. And literally I basically kind of like sealed it in with him, came back the next week. I started looking for my handyman, started looking for all my people, my scratch and dent for my appliances, everything. And I mean, I was finding people like this. So like I went down, the prior week after, and, basically my handyman started working on the inside of the house. They basically got all that up and running. And I stayed down there for 3 days the first time. And then we kind of did a week break in between. And then I just came back actually. Well, this is a new week. So I just came back last week, actually. And they're all finished. Like literally, we finished the exterior of the house. And she didn't even have to come to South Carolina. Basically, she has her part to play, you know, in finding a tenant administration wise. I was more so the boots on the ground.
Yeah.
And I mean, this property manager was shocked at how fast I did this. He was like, I couldn't believe it. So like that was my first partnership, my first mobile home in South Carolina. I love South Carolina now, and I'm looking to basically do more deals out there.
Definitely.
So.
I got a feeling.
That's why I always. What you said. No, that's why I'm like, you know, I kind of always try to push people to partner deals. You know, that's the best way. You know, if you don't have the capital or you don't have the know-how, partner deals, because not every deal is going to turn out horrible with a partner. You know, as long as you structure it right, as long as you have the proper paperwork. Documentation, you know, everything needs to basically be documented and everything structured. You can have your attorney set up a contract and all that. You're good. So
definitely. And I have a feeling the same thing that happened in Georgia is going to happen where, you know, they notice like you work quick, you keep things looking nice.
Yeah.
And like you said, you know, he's going to buy another park. So I would not be surprised if you catch up again and you got some more over there.
Right. Exactly. Hoping.
Definitely. So what does the future look like? I mean, you kind of have been whizzing through and just put in a whole lot of work in under a year, which is incredible. And I mean, it's very inspiring. So obviously this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much more left in the future. So many greater heights to reach. But when you think about what you want to do in the future, what comes to mind?
I definitely want to continue to keep going with this space for a little bit. And I'm thinking about the real big deal is owning a mobile home park. That's where, you know, that's where the real bread and butter is at. So, I'm thinking about if I want to go ahead and move over into that space eventually of owning a mobile home park or being part owner or of some sort. Or I really am still in love with traditional real estate, and I really love the whole commercial feel. So
yeah.
I don't know, like, you know, I'm kind of trying to weigh my options here and see where it goes. So
definitely. And that's the beauty of real estate overall. You know, there's so many different avenues, so many different asset classes and stuff that you can get into. I think that's a good approach to kind of be open.
You
never know where your next opportunity is going to come from.
You never know. Sometimes you just got to roll with the punches, right? So
yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah.
cool. So this has just been a really inspirational interview. I'm still thinking about when you first said 90 days. I was like, oh my goodness. I guess I forgot about that from before, but yeah, I mean, I just think it's a testament to Just being open to trying new things is one of the things I got from this interview. Also, collaboration and partnership, because even though you didn't partner with all the people you were with in the beginning, all of this was birthed out of working with people in the beginning to like do research and things. And everyone kind of did their own thing, but it started because y'all were together. And so I think that in itself is very powerful. And also just being, not being a slumlord, you know,
exactly.
you keep the properties looking well, being presentable.
Yes.
Park owners clearly notice it. And that's part of how you got more deals, more opportunities and leads on stuff. So, it's a whole lot of game in this episode, and I'm just excited. I can't wait for our listeners to check this one out.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. I hope they get a lot of good information and they put their foot forward and do something. I mean, this is a great space to be in. I say, go for it. Go for it. Do your research, but don't research too long. You know, you got to just jump out and take the risk. You got to. So
definitely, definitely. So where can the people reach you if they want to work with you, if they want to learn more about what you're going on? What you have going on, any product offerings or training or anything you have, feel free to let us know now and I'll make sure to include those in the show notes.
Yeah, definitely. So you can reach me on all social media sites, especially on Instagram. I'm mainly on Instagram at Pink Porch Properties. And yes, like I said, me and my partner here, we are actually doing a mentorship program. So we basically, it's a mentorship for 30 days. It's basically buying and getting your house sold, getting your mobile home sold, or buying and holding, or whatever you want to do within 30 days. You know, we walk you through that whole process and help you through a deal. But you can reach me at Pink Porch Properties.
Awesome. Awesome. Is there anything you want to leave with the listeners? Any last words?
I mean, this is a great space to be in, you know, if you're not going to go this direction, definitely if you're into the real estate, arena, just try something, just take a risk. You know, it doesn't matter. I started in a pandemic, you know, so that's crazy, you know? So, I mean, there's money to be made out here. And also it's about the main thing, generational wealth, you know, having came from a background of real estate, having came from a background of wealthy family members. So it's basically about kind of like leaving legacy and leaving this to my future kids, my nieces and nephews, and, you know, your family members. So start with something, you know, start with something and just follow through with it.
Definitely, definitely. Appreciate you again, Casey. And thank you to everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. If you'd like to support us as an official patron and get access to bonus content and early access to episodes, go to patreon.com/blackrealestatedialogue. If you want to keep up with what we have going on, text BRED to 21,000 to join our free VIP text list. Also, if you want to join the Bread Real Estate Investing Community, click the link below or go to blackrealestatedialogue.com where you can find that information and all other resources. Thank you all so much again. I look forward to hearing from you all soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue and on Twitter at Bread Podcast. That's BRED Podcast. Until next time.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. We ask that you kindly not be that guy, and instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone from their top brands in any condition on any unlimited plan for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 with Galaxy AI. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.